Johnny's 12 years old, and tomorrow she'll be a whore. Nobody ever told her it's the wrong way.
Or, hey, Ronnie, you still being a whore? What's going on?
Oh, yeah, you know it.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to Respectfully. I'm Andrea Allen.
I'm Lizzie Cassidy.
And we're here to ruin your day.
We're back.
We're back.
We took a hiatus because something terrible happened.
A lot of terrible things happened.
And now we're back. Let's just talk about it, and then it'll be over. It'll never be over.
And that's what you learn as you get
and
older.
That's what you learn is that it's always bad. It's a nightmare, and it's never ending.
And it'll never get old. I do have a bit about becoming an adult, and the main point of it is, not only do you realize that it's not going to be what you wanted it to be, it's actually going to be worse than you could ever imagine.
Much worse.
Much worse. Things start to happen that you go, really?
Yeah.
Really?
So that's the... We'll just start with the elephant in the room because it's been all over the social media.
Yeah.
And it's the reason that we haven't recorded a podcast in over a month. But like a month ago, on December 13th, one of our very good friends, one of my best friends in the world, Kenny DeForest, died.
Mm-hmm.
Was supposed to be on the podcast the week after. Couldn't make it.
Yeah.
And it's been a fucking waking nightmare.
Yeah.
That's kind of... the whole thing, you know? Before we get into it, I do think the most important thing to say is, like, if you listen to this podcast because you're a fan of comedy, he was a phenomenal comedian. And
he was.
He has two specials that are free on YouTube and a ton of content that's out there. And I think right now, if you Google Kenny DeForest, it's all, like, articles about him being dead.
Yeah.
But it's, like, he would want people to know what he made when he was alive. So you should, if you've never... looked into him, you should.
There's also, like, I was listening to a bunch of, like, Kenny's bits.
Yeah.
It's so weird when someone dies in, like, the digital age now.
I know.
Because you can hear their voice, which is both, like, comforting and also fucking bizarre. But Kenny, his comedy, Kenny was, like, a girl's girl and a white guy ally.
A true ally.
He really was.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of Kenny's bits, he had one about, like, he had a late night that was phenomenal, and it was about, like, toxic masculinity, but not in, like, a way. Like,
no.
It was, like...
just in, like, a it's real, and this is what's funny about it.
Insightful.
Way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, a lot of what...
Yeah,
Kenny
even if you're a person who, like, doesn't like white guy comedy, you'll like his comedy.
You would.
He's, like, a fucking ray of sunshine. I was talking to someone about him the other day, and I was, like, one of the reasons we were so close is because, like... we had, like, a black cat golden retriever friendship.
Yeah, you know, like, I love
that. We would just meet at a diner, and I'd be like, I don't know, everything is fucked, and the world is fucking poison, and I hate everybody all the time. And he'd be like, hey, man, sometimes it's nice outside. And I'd be like, you're right.
He was hippy-dippy. He was really hippy-dippy.
Yeah, we were, like, punk hippie enemy friends.
Yeah,
you know?
We're just two black cats, though.
We're just two black cats.
Yeah.
We need a golden retriever.
Well, you get a golden retriever and then it gets put down.
And then he gets
it runs in front of an ice cream truck.
Yeah. I mean, we all posted sort of tributes to Kenny, and, like, Instagram was an indication of how beloved this person was. Like, everyone had a Kenny story, and they were all like, I felt weird at a show and Kenny pulled me aside and was like, he always did, like,
and just, like, said the perfect thing.
Yeah.
Like,
he did the kind thing.
He was so good at just saying the perfect thing.
Yeah.
And, like, in a way that is almost like, oh, of course you're the guy who died.
Of course.
Like,
isn't it always?
If like, just, your life was a movie, he had the dialogue of the guy who dies too soon.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
He's just like a perfect person.
Yeah.
I didn't know Kenny all that well. I had some interactions with him. He was in our fantasy football league, which I didn't even know until after he had passed.
Until he got removed from the crew.
Well, because him and my friend Matt Lajeski were friends.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Matt knew him from when they were doing, like, moving jobs in New York City.
Yeah,
and always said that Kenny was just, like, the coolest, nicest guy.
Yeah.
And again, I don't know how close they were, but close enough to, like, they were, like, boys, kind of, you know.
Everyone feels close to him.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, this is the first time someone I love has died, and I didn't see any posts that I was like, you didn't even know him. Like, everybody was friends with him.
Well, and the thing is, again, as somebody that didn't really know him all that well, I knew how beloved he was, and I knew that it was justified. I'd played basketball with him a few times. He was always such a sweet guy, and I think, to, like, Lizzie's point, the vibe was always that he was just, like, happy to see everybody. He was very friendly.
Yeah.
Like, actually actually friendly, not
very
like,
warm,
not yeah. LA friendly.
People
like,
aren't like warm in the way that he was.
Yeah,
you know
very
what I mean?
Warm
like,
guy.
He had like a very welcoming, warm demeanor that people and especially comedians tend to not have.
Yeah,
in
yeah.
a way that almost was like shocking and weird.
Yeah, well, and it's just it's. The original thing I was just gonna say was like it is crazy that there are so many scumbags in this
yes.
industry, and of course it's like the one guy that gets taken way too soon in a tragic way.
The amount of people who texted me
beloved by yeah. everybody, you know.
The amount of people who texted me and were like, I could make a list of 500 comedians
oh.
who should have
oh,
died before
God.
Kennedy.
Absolutely.
The people
Take
I
Jeff
would,
Lawrence
the people
instead.
I would, the people I would swap.
Yeah,
I'd swap like five comedians for Kenny.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
would kill them myself.
Me too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I would be forever changed by taking a life.
Doesn't
so that
matter.
I could bring Kenny
I would
back.
Yeah, yeah, in a heartbeat, I'd do that.
I mean, so we, you know, a lot of people posted, and I posted like a story with one of his bits about like toxic masculinity, and I was just writing on the story like about how. Much he empathized with women and
yeah.
how much he like really saw the way things were for yeah. women and the way women responded to that. Like it was like, oh, he was like a person where he would.
Well, I described him as a girl's girl to you before he died.
Yeah.
Because he was just like my friend and I like went through a breakup like a month before he died.
Yeah.
And he was like, and you were out of town
mm-hmm.
and he was like my girlfriend that you
yeah.
call when you're. When you and your boyfriend break up, like we like ate ice cream in diners and he
yeah.
like talked me through it, you know, like he was like a true friend to women in a way that a lot of men just aren't capable of being.
Yeah. Yeah. You always felt safe immediately.
Yeah.
In a room. And he was like tall and like
yeah.
a big presence.
And handsome, which is like,
I know
those guys usually aren't very tall, handsome guy.
Nightmares always.
Yeah.
Yeah. He also struggled and was transparent about it, which was a cool thing,
mm-hmm.
especially for someone who was successful, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's like when you felt like you were doing badly, I would feel like comfortable to, if Kenny was around, be like, dude, I'm going through this. And he
yeah.
would be like, and I'm doing this. Like,
yeah, you didn't have to be like, yeah, I'm good.
Never,
you know, like,
never.
He was just like a very real and honest person. There was one time we were like making fun of a comedian because he said his favorite band was the Chainsmokers. So Kenny and I were making fun of him relentlessly. And then as we were leaving the show, Kenny grabbed the guy's shoulder and was like, hey man, if you like the Chainsmokers, you like the Chainsmokers. I don't want to steal your joy.
Yeah.
And I was like, God, that is so
yeah.
who you
yeah.
are and
That's
not
nice.
Who I am.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I was like, I wanted to ruin that band for you forever.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like he always did the kind thing.
Yeah.
Which is, again, in our industry and also just in the world, it's harder to do the kind
yeah.
thing. It usually comes at a cost and you don't benefit in any particular way about it. And it
yeah.
was just little acts. Like, I think the summation of all his little acts
yeah.
is really like a big thing about people like this.
Yeah.
Is that everyone remembers the tiny little kind moments and
yeah.
then it's accumulation of like, that's what a good person is.
I can't think of one person that I know that didn't have a good thing to say about him.
Yeah.
I really am trying to rack my brain. And every time that guy's name came up.
Yeah, it was like
it
astonishing.
Was always, yeah, like everybody. And like I said, when the one real memory I have of talking to him, it was like right when he moved back from LA.
Yeah.
And everybody was excited that he was like at the gym.
Yeah.
Everybody
totally.
Was just like, oh, Kenny's back. All right.
Yeah.
I even
yeah.
think I might have this wrong, but a friend of mine and in the comedy community, Joel Wachowski,
yeah.
runs
yeah.
this Sunday basketball game. I'm pretty sure Joel like bumped somebody to put Kenny in.
Yeah. Of course.
He was just like, Kenny's back. I got to get him in. Like,
I also heard a story that there was a time there was like some sort of basketball tournament and it was Joel's birthday.
That's the big Wachowski
and
that we play in.
And Kenny
year,
let
yeah.
him win.
Well, that might be Joel's side of the story.
Well, yeah. what I heard was Joel like didn't know that until later. But
oh, got
that
it.
Sounds very. That sounds like something Kenny would do.
Yeah, because Kenny could ball.
Yeah,
yeah,
I know. Joel posted something that was like, "There goes the best comedian basketball player
good, yeah.
we've ever seen," and I was like, "Man, that's what he wanted."
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
like
yeah, yeah, yeah.
He wanted that would have made him so happy.
Yeah.
We also he was like. You know, he was wearing the turquoise rings. He was a philosophy boy.
Yeah.
And a lot of people who sort of like enter that space of like introspection are often just like nightmares who won't internally look at themselves, so they just like steal other things from out in the world. But he would say like really introspective stuff. Like I remember once I was talking to him about someone being shitty or something shitty and just feeling disheartened by like the quality of people that I was running into.
Yeah.
Or just the state of the world. And he was like, here's the thing with people. I hate them like in large groups, but within a city block, I love people. He was like, every person has a cool story, and every, you know, like on a micro level, people have so much to offer. And he like saw that in people. He every person he was like genuinely interested in.
Yeah. He was the best. He was like, just the kind of guy who would go out of his way to help you for no reason.
Yeah.
And like, that's, you know, like the last time we talked before he died, I had the flu and I was on the phone with him, and he was like, well, I'll be in the city later if you want me to like bring you anything.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, man, like DoorDash exists, you know, like, like that's not really a thing that people do anymore.
I know.
And I wish that, I mean, I wish I had seen him, but you know,
yeah,
it was just like very indicative of the kind of guy he was.
Well, so he died suddenly. Do we want to go into this?
He got in an accident.
Yeah.
He was riding his bike and he got in an accident, and he was in the hospital for a few days, and we were there the whole time.
Yeah.
As were a ton of other people.
It was a fever, not dream, nightmare.
Yeah. I mean, it was...
It's also heartening.
Yeah. It was the worst thing that's ever happened, but it was also like very beautiful and moving.
Yeah.
The way that like the comedy community came together.
Mm-hmm.
Because his parents couldn't get there for a few days, and there was... I mean, everybody just decided that he shouldn't be alone.
Yeah.
Ever. And we like worked in shifts to make sure he wasn't. And that I think is something that A, is really beautiful, and also is really indicative of the kind of person he was.
Yeah.
Because everybody I talked to, myself included, was like, well, if this was me, you'd have to like
pry Kenny.
Like a SWAT team would have to remove him from this hospital room.
Yeah.
Like if I was in the hospital and my family couldn't be there, you would have to forcibly remove him from that hospital room. So like that's just what I mean, like we were getting in arguments with hospital security being like, you have to let us stay here.
Yeah, like, yeah. We got into it.
We absolutely really? Are not leaving this place. Yeah. Because I mean, like they had rules like the waiting room closes after a certain time, but we were all sleeping in the waiting room and taking turns being in his room. Mm-hmm. And these like hospital cops came up to us and were like, you can't be here. And we were like, yeah, no, we can. And we will be. Like, no matter what you try to do to us, we're not leaving. And they eventually like got the message that this was just how it was going to be.
I mean, Maddie Wiener, past guest of the show, had a very insightful...
There was like a bunch of us sitting. Somebody, a comedian in LA, like sent pizza to the waiting room.
It was like a slumber party of the worst kind.
And we were like, we were like laughing because we're comedians and something horrible was happening. So it did look from the outside like we were having fun.
Right.
And a hospital cop came over and went, so what's going on over here? And somebody was like, our friend is dying.
And, insane.
And then the cop goes, but what's going on here? And I was like, well, we're all sad. And she like didn't get it. And what you were going to say, Maddie Wiener goes, sorry, we like have a love that transcends capitalist notions of relationship and community.
Yeah. I mean, it was, again, the two things can be true at the same time.
Yeah.
The comedy community is a nightmare filled with narcissists and snakes and demons. And also... a beautiful like group
chosen family kind of community.
Yeah. I think everyone was confused by the amount of people coming in and out. And like,
yeah, the doctors and nurses kept saying to me like, oh, this guy's got a lot of friends. And I was like, you don't even fucking know.
Yeah.
You have no idea how many people you're about to meet.
I mean, it's also sudden death like this is a very discombobulating and bizarre. Like you kind of got to, you and I unfortunately have been in the trenches with death maybe more than the average person.
Yeah.
And so I kind of go into like, this is what we need to do, and this is the plan, and this is blah blah blah, and I'm like, this is so, do you do this when you're like, this is so fucked up, we're throwing it in a box, we're dealing with it later, which is, but some people cope, some people fall apart. You know, some people it's like too much for their brain to even process, you know, and also people didn't know how bad.
Yeah, that's
was.
The thing. Like, people were showing up thinking they were going to be able to, like, hang out with him.
Yeah, that's the thing. Because, again, like, I had seen that he had gotten into an accident because it was going around social media.
Yeah.
And then I was at the Knicks game with Frex, and you had texted me, Andrea, about, like, not recording the next day.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that's fine, whatever. And I was like, how's Kenny? And you were just like, I didn't tell anybody at the time because it wasn't my business.
Yeah.
But, like, you were like, it's not good.
Yeah.
He's like kind of died and been brought back like a handful of times. I was just like, what?
Yeah.
Like, I thought he
when he first got hurt, there was like potential that he might be okay. He might be alive and not okay. Like they're with like the kind of brain injury he had, there really isn't a way for them to know.
Yeah.
But there was like the potential of him
being
Kenny again. In like
2 years,
something, which is already a nightmare.
Yeah.
And then it got worse after that. So, so somebody, which is, there's nothing wrong with this, but somebody posted on the GoFundMe that he was expected to make a full recovery.
That's what, I had heard people were saying that.
Yeah. Which
and then all
is
of a sudden,
they told us at the beginning.
Right.
And it also was complicated because, like, you're in a hospital and we're not his family, so they can't tell us anything and, like, blah, blah, blah. So they're telling his parents, who are telling someone, who's telling us. And I showed up. I knew it was bad because I hadn't heard from him.
Yeah.
Right.
And I knew that if it was something, like if he had like broken both of his legs or something, he would have called me.
Right.
Yeah.
So I knew when I got there that he wasn't going to be conscious.
Yeah, you called around. I remember the series of events.
Yeah, so I found out that he got in an accident and I didn't have any information, so I called like 20 hospitals until I found him.
Yeah.
And then when I showed up, a few people had already also done that. So there was like people there when I got there. And that was when they were like, maybe a year or two from now.
Yeah.
You'll be able to like talk to your friend again.
Yeah.
And that was when I was like, oh, this is like, no matter what, our lives are different forever.
Yeah.
And then.
That's such a tough thing to hear.
I know.
Your brain can't. I mean, I'm like. I'm going to skip ahead a little bit, but like there was, we had one of the crazier moments of my life in the middle of the night. Mm-hmm. You, me. So like he had like a, it was like that. And then he had some sort of like incident and the injury got worse. And like, you know.
There wasn't even really an incident. It's just like the kind of injury that's like progressive and it can get better, it can get worse, and it got worse.
Yeah.
And then, basically, in the middle of the night, we were just very casually told that he was brain dead. And
can we double click on that?
I don't really want.
Okay, that's fine. That's also, I thought about that as soon as I said.
Yeah, no, I don't mind. Like, I don't mind you asking. I get it, but I don't want to like.
It was just,
the thing is, like, I don't want the way people to talk about Kenny to be about the worst thing that ever happened
to
him.
Of course,
you know. So I don't want to like harp on it too much, but it was an insane,
it was insane
thing to be told at 4 o'clock in the morning.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
You're just sitting in a hospital waiting room and it really is like all of a sudden your life is different forever.
Right.
And it's, I've had like friends die before, but they weren't people that I spoke to every day, you know?
Right.
Like, and it's kind of this thing where it's very sad, but your life doesn't change that much. Like, you miss them when you're with the people that you would have been around them with. And you like have moments where you wish you could tell them something and stuff, but your day to day life doesn't really change.
Right.
And this was not like that. This was like, oh, this is someone that I call on the phone multiple times a week. This is someone that I see three or four times a week. Like this is someone who's like a
one
pillar
of us
in my life.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And like, that's such a weird,
well,
it's so bizarre to be like, oh, this is just, my life is just different forever now.
Yeah.
And like, and so many people's lives are. Like, so many of us had, I'm not the only person who had that relationship with Kenny.
No.
Like, there are tons of people who were that close with him for longer than I was. And like, there are tons of people who are just, like, now we're all just like talking to each other because we don't know what else to do, you know?
There's like, I had a very, illuminating experience with death when I was in my mid-20s, which was my grandfather passed away, but it was, he had cancer, he was in his late 80s, he like lived way longer than they imagined that he would. So he kind of got to like properly say goodbye, or everyone was able to deal with it. Slow death is also very difficult, but
yeah,
especially progressive. You know, my dad died last year and it was progressive and it had been going on for years and it was just so fucked for so long. So I went, but the point being is I went to my grandfather's wake and it was like, okay, this is like a manageable way to handle death. Like, you've prepped yourself, you've made peace with the person, you know the person
you
is
also
like
grow up knowing your grandparent is gonna 100%. Die. Everybody's grandparents die.
Sure. Grandparents, you know? Yeah. That's their thing. Yep.
And like, this isn't to say like, oh, this is so much worse than anything anyone else has experienced. But like, you never think about one of your best friends dying.
No, but
like, people are afraid of their parents dying. People are afraid of getting married and then their significant other dies. But people you don't really think about the idea that like, this is someone who I thought I'd be friends with when I was in my
70s. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But wait for the twist on this story though. So I'm experiencing death in the conventional sense of it, right? I'm also in my 20s and, you know, it's a grandparent relationship. But I met a woman there who took care of my grandfather, like took care of his house and like would garden with him, just like the sweetest woman. And like, I just remember being like, I was like telling her about something and she wrote something down for me. Like, I was having some ailment, obviously, I always am. And she's like, oh, like, get to take this and this tincture and blah, 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 blah. And I was like, oh, what a sweet woman. Like, you know, and she really like made that like wake, like, you know, there was like family stuff going on. And like, it was just, she was just like a person I was able to talk to. A few days later, I go home to New York and my mom calls me and she goes, that woman left your grandfather's funeral and she got in a car crash and died.
Crazy.
What?
Yes. Ugh. And I was like, oh, that's two different deaths. And the surprise death is so, your brain like can't.
Yeah. It feels like the world isn't real.
Yeah. Like, it feels fake.
Yeah. And also like there is a part for a very long time, even after we took Kenny off of life support, there was like a part of my brain that was like, no, but like something's going to happen.
100%.
You know, like Kenny's not dead. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yes.
Right.
You know, like that makes less sense than him waking up from being dead.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, like it's so fucking bizarre when something like this happens. That's like, he was on his way to work.
Yes. It's also like you spent a lot of time in his room. I spent some time in his room. And
in the hospital room.
In the hospital room, yeah. And like when someone dies in this manner or gets injured in this manner, they don't appear.
Yeah, that was crazy. He didn't look like himself. So when I first got to the hospital, I was like alone with him in his hospital room and he didn't look like himself. So I looked at his tattoos to make sure it was him. Like, because again, like it made more sense to me that like some guy stole his wallet and then got in an accident.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, but they were there. His tattoos were there. And then I was like, oh, fuck. Now I'm going to have to get one of your corny tattoos tattooed on me.
It's just this thing where you look at someone and their physical body is there.
Yeah.
And it's very confusing for your brain.
Yeah, and they're like, he's breathing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a tough thing to wrap your head around.
And I think everyone was like, you know, that is what like him being amazing, it being a sudden death, him being young makes people switch to denial very quickly, which is like a good coping mechanism. And I think in addition, the nature of his injury, we were all just like hanging around being like, something's going to change. And even when we kind of knew that it wasn't, we still were like, well, we're staying and anything's possible. And, you know, it just was,
it was awful.
Yeah, we had a few moments in a hospital room that were a life memory imprinted.
Yeah, for sure. It was an insane thing to go through, for sure. But it happened, and it really is important to me that people know how wonderful he was. And there are like podcast episodes, like he was on Pete Holmes's podcast and like, that's an amazing episode. And like, I haven't listened to it since he died because I can't,
of course.
A lot of people have told me it's like concentrated Kenny.
Yeah. A little hit.
Yeah. Like if you need like a concentrated dose of Kenny, you can listen to that. Or like I listened to, he like told a couple stories on Risk and they re-released those.
Yeah.
But Yeah, he was like just like a profoundly wonderful person.
I know. He also loved music, and yeah, that's also like a really helpful thing, you know, if you're going through a death or whatever. Not everyone is so connected to music, but like,
yeah,
his, you know, Kenny loved like certain country and like things like that. Yeah. And his special has some really good music on it. And like, it's like, I don't know. I listened to it and you were absolutely much closer to him than I was. But like, I also felt a closeness by proxy, and I was in the hospital to be there, but also to be in support yeah. of you. But I don't know. Sometimes I do this when someone's passed. I just listen to the music that they liked, and I kind of like walk around.
Yeah.
And it feels like I'm hanging out with them. And I know that that's not yeah. real, but it does provide some sort of, you know.
Yeah. I mean, comfort. So I went to the hospital when they took him off life support, which they did in an operating room, because he donated seven yeah. of his organs and saved five people's lives doing that, which is
such a Kenny yeah. way to I know, fucking go.
I know.
Through and through.
Also, like, there were a few of us, like, me and his friends were talking. We were like, we should get to, like, interview these guys.
Yeah.
Like, if you're, I was, the joke I made was, like, I just want to know if they, like, are nice and have good taste in music.
Yeah,
like, if
sure.
you're going to be walking around with my friend's heart in your chest, you can't take it to an Imagine Dragons concert. Sorry. Sorry. You don't get to. You know what I mean? But we were there, and they were about to take him off life support, and he had a tattoo that was related to the song Rambling Man by the Allman Brothers. And
that's
Allman
so Brothers Kenny. Band.
And there's just this lyric in the song that Maddie Ryan pointed out that neither of us had noticed before. And it's just the words, when it's time for leaving, I hope you'll understand.
Oh my.
And we were just like,
God damn it. I mean, the synchronicity yeah. of things after he died, again, like, I don't, you know, you can be religious, you can be spiritual, you can be atheist, whatever it may mean, but synchronicities after death just, you know, they yeah. seem to happen. But my fiance bought a house, and someone just wrote Kenny on the wall
yeah.
inside the house. And wow. he like took a picture of it and was like, what?
Well, there was also, there was like someone who worked at the hospital named Kenny.
Yeah.
So people were just like yelling.
It's not a common name.
People were just like yelling Kenny in the waiting room, like doing bits with this guy. And we were all like,
yeah. Yeah.
And then I like looked on I looked on Free People to find a dress to wear to his, like, any, if there's like whatever services.
Another year of a shitty funeral dress.
Because I was
dress.
Like, well, I was like, let me buy like a hippie dress, because I made fun of him for being a hippie relentlessly. So I typed in like black dress on Free People, and the first one that came up was like the Kenny denim dress.
Insane.
And I was like, all right.
Enough.
All right, I'll buy it. But also enough. You
enough,
know?
But thank you, but enough.
And then there was a, like the first time I did stand up after he died,
yeah,
I
weird.
Was walking to a show. Where the last time I'd done that show, he and I were there together.
Yeah.
And we were talking about the song Motion Sickness by Phoebe Bridgers. And as I was like 10 feet away from the venue, the song just started playing in my headphones. And out loud, I went, oh, you fucking asshole.
I know.
I was like, I was already fucking thinking about you. You don't have to do this,
Let's
too.
Let's pull a heavy-handed, Kenny.
But I do think if you like believe in that stuff, that's totally something you would do.
Yeah. I mean, the first show that I did back out in the world, there was a comedian that I'd never met before being like, hi, I'm Kenny. And I was like, all right.
Yeah.
Enough.
Also, if that was me, I'd probably like have some sort of break and be like, no, you're not.
No, you're a short black man. He was a tall white man. It's totally different. And now I'm going to throw up on myself.
Yeah, he was great, though. I think we should pivot into our related next segment.
Let's do it.
Which is... respectfully, a lot of you don't know how to fucking act when somebody dies.
Oh my God.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's been a few years. Your dad passed suddenly.
Yeah, my dad died in 2022.
And my dad died in 2023.
Yeah.
And I'll die in 2024, or at least that's what my brain thinks.
I do think that would ruin me. I think I'd have to be put in a room.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I mean, it would ruin me because I'd be dead. But if you die, yeah. If anyone in this room, you know, again, we'll go into this, but when friends die, good friends.
Yeah.
It's your friends are your family
yeah.
for a lot of your life. And your nuclear family, you're like... built to understand as you age that they will pass.
Yeah. It really was like the craziest part about this for me was like The guy who I would call if one of my friends died, died.
I know.
You know?
It's so unfair.
That's insane that that's that insane. Can happen like that. Like, he was like, you know, he was the guy who would know what to say.
Yeah. Always. So,
that sucks.
And some people don't know what to say.
And boy, do they fuck it up.
Yeah. So we'll begin with the first, respectfully.
Well, when, yeah.
You go first if you'd like.
Well, there's the big one.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, when Kenny died, I was having sex with my ex-boyfriend. And not like as he died, I was having sex, just okay. like during yeah. that month.
Yeah.
And boy, did he drop the ball on the whole one of my best friends dying thing.
Yeah.
I was on my way to the hospital to be with his family and our other friends while he was taken off of life support. And I got a text that said, "You haven't texted me all day. Are you mad at me?"
Get the fuck.
Did he know that no. Kenny had
yes.
died?
He knew that that's what I was doing that day.
That's not great.
Isn't that fucking crazy?
Yeah, it's fucking crazy.
That is pretty bad.
Yeah.
What an insane nightmare. And then I was like, hey, you really were not supportive during this horrible thing that happened to me. Also, I'm really like concentrating on being with my friends right now, and that's what's important to me. I don't want to see
the
you
the fact
anymore.
That you have to like explain that to yeah. a person is insane to me.
So I was like, I don't want to see you anymore. And then he called me a rat bitch.
Really?
Yeah. Do you know how long I've been holding rat bitch in? Do you because not to blow up your
we
spot.
We have to talk about it because it's crazy.
This
and
is
it's
not
like,
the first rat bitch.
This was not the first time he called her a rat bitch.
Oh, he'd called you a rat bitch before?
3 times? This was the third time.
What's
Ronnie,
the context?
Ronnie, I'm weak, okay? Well, he just like always thought
You're
I was cheating
He's
on him.
He's a rat bitch.
He always
He's
thought I was cheating on him, which I wasn't.
Okay. Yeah.
And then he would accuse me of cheating on him, and he'd be like, "You're a liar and a rat bitch."
Rat bitch is really, that's a heavy, heavy insult.
I know, it's crazy. It's
so to call someone a rat?
It's so bitch? Mean. A rat bitch.
A
yeah,
rat
well,
bitch?
Yeah, adding bitch makes it worse. Yes, you're right. But
it's fucking crazy.
It's also kind of a gift in post because it's the meanest insult. It's
I know.
It's such a.
It really makes it easy to break up with someone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
you
would
know
imagine.
What I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, oh,
yep.
yeah, I don't ever want to talk to you again. Sure, sure, I'll be a rat bitch to you. That's what you need me to be.
It's just two words in the English language that I didn't think packed as much heat as they
yeah.
do. And they it really is.
No, they pack. They pack.
Imagine with
heat,
your
baby.
Whole chest saying to someone whose friend died a week before, "You're a rat bitch.
You're a rat bitch.
You're a rat bitch. I'm a rat bitch."
Yeah, well, this is the rat bitch hour. I mean, now we call each other rat bitches to
all
take
the time.
Back the power. But
now I live my life as a rat bitch.
Yes. Squeak, squeak, motherfucker.
Yeah.
I got your number.
Yeah. I'm fucking in a Maisie and cheese. I'm a rat bitch, dude.
It's well, it's like, again, people and death. It one, like any tragedy immediately reveals the content of people's characters. Which makes it horrible, but it also makes you be like, oh, never mind. Like, yeah. immediate write-off on rat bitch. And one thing that people do with death, respectfully, it's not your moment.
It's just not your yeah. moment.
It's not your debutante ball.
It is not your moment.
It's not your soap opera. And also something that's wild to me is when people inflate their relationship with the dead
I know.
To get attention.
I know.
It's one of the most mentally ill things ever.
Can
ever.
I tell you guys?
Yes.
I knew that you were both grieving
yeah.
during this whole process. And obviously I was trying to coordinate with you guys some of the stuff we were doing here, whatever.
Yeah.
And I was trying to give you guys the right amount of space.
Yeah.
But also
thank
the
you.
Right amount of
Very
condolences.
Sensitive. Yeah.
And to check in. But I have been forthcoming, especially here, saying that like I didn't really know Kenny that well.
Sure.
Met him a few times. Definitely liked him, but like did yeah. not know him well. And had when everybody started posting the stuff on Instagram,
sure.
I posted one also.
Yeah.
And the entire time that I wrestled with whether or not
for sure
I
yeah.
say this guy I didn't know him well and he was like a great guy, rest in peace, or if I should just do nothing.
Right.
And
right.
I honestly and I thought of you guys when I was doing it because I was just like. do I seem phony to to people that actually were very close to him by saying, like, rest in peace to a really good guy.
I do think that this one, reasonable person.
But I also think that this one is different because he was so great. It didn't. There was almost no one who I felt it was phony when they posted stuff like that. What I mean?
Yeah, and that's the thing, though. I think it's this weird thing because he's a public figure.
Yeah,
and B, when you're in a scene or you're in a social setting where it's like sort of like a friend of a friend or somebody that you've kind of seen around, I do think it can be difficult sometimes to know what the proper etiquette is.
Yeah.
But I also do know that there were absolutely, I'm sure you guys took notes, I didn't, but people that blew it up and were just like, Kenny, my best friend, miss you.
Honestly, it wasn't even really that. It was just like, there were some people where it was like, what are you doing here?
Yes. Can we talk about the one that is awesome?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so there was a woman.
Shout out to Kenny's dick game, by the way.
He didn't even fuck her.
Yeah.
There was a woman who had a crush on him.
Okay. Yeah,
who decided to come to the hospital and act like he was her boyfriend.
Oh. Yes.
And was like receiving guests in his hospital room.
No shit. Is it someone I might know?
No.
Okay. All right.
No one knew who this bitch was.
Nobody knew this bitch.
Which is a random
crazy
woman.
But I knew who she was from him.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And all I knew was that me and a few of his other friends were like, yeah, not her. She sounds crazy.
Yeah. Oh,
and he was like, you're right. Respectfully, miss, never mind. And then she really proved all of us right. Even his parents were like, she talked to us way too much.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And his parents are like the sweetest people I've ever met in my life.
Right.
And they were like, also, that hilarious thing. I was having dinner with Kenny's parents the day after he died. And they're funny and they're like him.
Yeah.
And it was like honestly fun hanging out with them, even though it was such a horrible circumstance. And this is one of those examples. This is not me saying that this was inappropriate or bad at all. This is like
fucking awesome.
This is awesome. But we were having dinner literally the day after he died. And Kenny's mom turns to me and she goes, I just have to say this because I've been thinking about it all week. You have huge boobs.
That's what Kenny would have wanted.
I know.
That was Kenny speaking through.
And I do sometimes think about that story as like, I do think if he was alive, he might be a little embarrassed. Like he might be like, oh, I don't know why she said that. Like the way that we're all embarrassed of our parents. But it's like, it's one of those things that your parent does that you think is embarrassing and everyone else thinks is so wonderful and charming.
It was awesome.
So I like telling that story because I think if anything, you'd be like, oh, fuck, mom.
Outrageous.
Slash maybe Kenny channeled her real quick and was like, I didn't tell you during your life. But
he told me.
Great camp.
No, he told me during my life.
Beautiful.
We were very close friends.
Beautiful.
I'm not implying anything. We were very platonic friends. But you know when you're so platonic with a male friend that he can be like, hey, your tits look great today?
Thank you
so much. It was like one of those.
You're like, I actually propped them up and put some bronzer on and thank you for noticing.
I was like, Kenny, look, I got a bra with fake nipples on it. And he was like, whoa, cool.
I mean, when this rat bitch came into the waiting room, Kenny's fake wife.
It was crazy.
Everyone was doing the like, so
how did you know?
What's your... And then she's there. And also like Kenny's actual ex that he was with and lived with for his longest term relationship is there. And I'm like, the fact that this lady isn't checking in her mind how
inappropriate this is
bonkers.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And a similar, not similar. So when my dad passed, like there was a lot of contention in my family. My parents' divorce was very messy and it split us. And it was just, it was really traumatic and horrible. And specifically my mom got like very ostracized from the family. And so at his funeral...
From his family, not from like you and your brother.
Yes, from my dad's family. And at the funeral, there was this question because my dad was remarried and the marriage did not start in an altogether morally upright way, if it catch my drift. And so there was this question like, is your mom coming to the funeral? And it's like, she was married to him for 35 years. She is the mother of his children. She like was in the hospital with him for years of his life, saved his life. Like, they had a very bad relationship at the end, but like, this is his, one of his, you know, right. like, yeah. And it's also like,
and the mother of his children.
And the mother of
his children. Whose dad just died.
And it's my mother. It's right. like, I'm going to my dad's funeral, and my dad's brother banned my mom from the funeral. And it
Rat
came
behavior.
Through me. Like, I'm fucking processing that I said goodbye to my dad on a Zoom call because he committed assisted suicide. So my brain is mush.
Right.
And then I'm getting text messages from my aunt, who's also a wonderful person. Like, we're both texting each other to be like, so I know the situation, like, we're doing like diplomatic because we're like not trying to be mean to each other.
Yeah.
And my aunt is like, I don't think it's appropriate. Like, Barry doesn't feel, and his new wife doesn't feel. And then it's been this thing for years with me where I knew that my dad was not in great health for a lot of his life. So I knew he would probably pass when I was like a younger person and I had time to think about it. And I knew the funeral was going to be a thing. And I also knew that my mom was going to, like, be so hurt by what happened. Because I knew that something like this was going to happen. So I was like, hey, I'm not telling you not to come, but, like, I think that this is going to be massively hurtful. I have, like, one shred of sanity right now.
Yeah.
And I'm, like, moderating.
I think this all comes down to, like, when someone you know loses someone close to them, you don't get to ask anything of them.
Right.
You just don't. It's, like, the same thing as this guy being like, you're not texting me enough.
It's crazy.
You don't get to do that. Even if we were still together in a relationship, if I didn't text you for 2 weeks, that'd be okay.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, this is what I'm doing.
I mean,
what I'm doing is dealing with the fact that somebody so important to me died. Like, this has nothing to fucking do with you, and you don't get to ask anything of me.
You don't get to be a rat bitch baby when real shit happens. And, like...
And meanwhile, like, people who were, just as close, if not closer to Kenny than me, are, like... offering to help me.
Right.
And you're asking shit of me, I'll kill you.
This is always the way, though.
Yeah.
It's always
rat bitches.
These rat bitches. When someone dies, squeak, squeak, the rat
squeak,
bitches.
Squeak, squeak, the rat bitches come out of the woodwork.
Yeah.
And family, I think, like in Andrea's case specifically, I had not a similar situation necessarily, I guess, but like my grandpa dying was like my big kind of like adult awakening moment, also.
Yeah.
Where it was just like, that was the first one. And it was just like, you know, life.
The dominoes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Literally. It was just like, you're an adult now. Like, someone's dead. This, like, you're welcome to reality.
Yeah.
And that was kind of like when my family structure started to unravel a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons was that when my grandpa was sick and on hospice and everything, my cousin, my aunt and my uncle were getting divorced.
Yeah.
They were in the middle of this like heated
money, 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 money.
I don't even know if it had to do with, she was like abused by my ex uncle, like pretty physically.
Yeah.
I think it went in both ways, but I think he was pretty forceful.
Okay.
They get divorced. He stays out in Long Island and my cousin makes the choice to stay out in Long Island, like with my uncle.
Yeah.
And basically kind of just not really see my family anymore.
Yeah.
So my grandpa's dying and my grandpa's like, where is my grandson? Like, he hasn't come to see me at all. What did I do to this kid that he hasn't like come to see me at all or call me or anything like that? So my grandpa dies. My cousin, my uncle, like, don't show up. Haven't seen him. They come to the funeral.
Oh,
and funeral. We're all obviously like, I was a little too young, but the adults are like, you guys probably shouldn't be here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know? And not only that, my aunt is grieving and she's like, everybody's like losing it because they don't know what to do.
Yeah.
My aunt somehow gets my ex-uncle and my cousin to be pallbearers for my grandpa. And it just causes this like whole fucking like, the sisters, like my aunts and my mom everybody's fighting.
Yeah.
Like, it's, I do think grief makes people do like fucking
makes people crazy,
makes
you insane.
But like I
also
you
think
just
that
gotta have some level of decorum.
I also think that bad people know that.
Yes.
And use it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that bad people know
pounce
that
pounce on the grief.
Grief. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like they use it as an opportunity to advance whatever their fucked up agenda is.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like when the day that Kenny died, I'm one of the producers of a show in Brooklyn that we do every Wednesday and Saturday. And Kenny was like a huge part of that. Like he was on the show all the time. He came all the time. He was friends with all of us. And so that night we canceled the show and just invited a few people to the venue where we have the show to like hang out.
Cry
because we
together.
Didn't know what to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it turned into like over 100 people showing up, which is fine. Everybody loved him. I get it. But there were definitely people there where I was like, you're fucking networking.
Right. You're treating this as right. a hang.
You're
treating,
right. you're and you're also having too right. much fucking fun.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean?
Right.
Like we're all oscillating between laughing and crying.
I had to leave.
And you're like chilling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's and awful, man. Yeah.
Someone. Okay.
Squeak.
Squeak, squeak.
Squeak, squeak.
Do I sense a rat bitch in the house?
We ding, had some, ding, there ding, was ding, a, ding. A real rat bitch moment. So,
Ronnie, sound the rat bitch alarm, please.
Oh, we need on. A rat bitch drop.
Rat bitch.
we do need a rat drop
yeah.
from now on. There was somebody, so I was at this like hang and Kenny's parents are there and like, everyone who's ever loved him in New York is there.
Yeah.
Everyone who could be there. Like, people flew in who are
yeah.
on tour.
Yeah.
And we're all just, like, crying and hugging. And this woman that we know comes up to me, and she's pretty drunk. And
yeah.
she already was, like, I clocked her across the room having too much fun.
Yeah.
Like everybody's saying hello to each other, like, hey. And
yeah,
she's
yeah.
doing like a hi,
yeah.
you know, like this kind of thing.
Yeah.
And she comes up to me and she goes, oh my God, hi. And I've been awake for 4 days and
yeah.
my best friend is dead.
yeah.
And I go, yes. hey. And she goes, oh my God, I hate your fucking podcast.
What?
No. Which is inappropriate. Regular
yeah.
style.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Regular style inappropriate. And I knew she was like trying to be funny.
Yeah.
But I was like, I didn't have the ability to like riff about
yeah.
something
yes.
like this. So I just went, what's up? And she goes, well, I don't listen to it, but I watch the clips.
That's so
we're
funny,
already
Lizzie.
Off to a great start.
Yeah.
You're talking about Instagram at someone's death celebration?
And you have notes.
Yeah, insane.
And she goes, I don't listen to it, but I watch the clips. And like, you're... And also, this isn't even true. She was like, you're rambling on about how you, like, hate these poor dudes, but I know you're, like, letting them come on your face.
It's insane.
And
you're
I went,
insane.
And I went, yeah, okay.
My God. So wait, can I ask you guys
what?
A question?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I have been, this is something I've been thinking about lately, and it's not necessarily as tied to death
sure.
as it is to just kind of, like, our generation.
Yeah. yeah.
Do you think that there are any adults out there at this point?
No.
People just that people
like,
don't know how to act in general.
I think there are like parents of adults who are adults.
Right.
But like I think it's also because we're in comedy.
No. Yeah.
I don't.
I do. I know people who are like grown-ups.
Yeah.
I'm sure they exist. I think on the whole, as a generation, this is just my opinion and like what I've seen out there, I think our generation really is kind of in this like arrested development.
Yeah,
and
I think a lot
of
it is.
Might
yeah.
be that people are like awkward and like if you wanted to give her the
no,
like,
I don't care. I don't care about that anymore.
I'm not making it. I'm not pro.
I know you're not, but this is another point that I. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally.
You don't get to be awkward in that way.
No,
yeah.
but and Lizzie, this is exactly what I'm saying. I think we're at a point where like I don't think people know how to act.
Yeah.
Period. Anymore.
I mean, when this
you know?
Person
like in a like as an adult,
when this woman said this to me, I was like. Has nothing bad ever happened to you?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Is that what's going on here? Like, I truly can't fathom saying that to someone. And like, let's give her this benefit of the doubt. I don't know if she knew that Kenny and I were super close.
Right.
Because we weren't like Andrea and I are like publicly close.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean? Like anybody would know. Kenny and I were not in that way. Like, it just was like,
but it
like,
just, it's just given the situation, none of it matters.
Given the situation,
right.
If you're at a this guy died party, assume everyone there was fucking close with the guy.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the basic. And then also, just generally, don't give people unsolicited notes on their fucking shit.
Well, yeah. That's a stupid thing in and of itself.
Are you fucking crazy?
And I'll counter you with like this generation or whatever thing. All the people that did fuck shit at my dad's funeral were boomers.
Yeah,
fair, that's fair.
Yeah.
True. Yeah.
So yep. Boomers sure. Also are wild. I mean, yeah. I think up to the point of my joke is that I think a big part of adulthood, quote unquote, is being like, I am responsible for having my shit together. I have a small circle of people who I deeply respect and admire and love.
Right.
And that's my crew. And I am going to go ahead and assume that everybody else is out of their fucking mind. And that's just, that hypothesis has yet to be proven incorrect.
Yeah, right.
There are this also, woman's an adult.
There
She's
are also
right.
people who like showed me in this happening that they are the opposite of this woman. Like there are people who like, I didn't know very well who I was like, oh man, you're the kind of person who says the perfect thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like you're just the kind of person who knows. Like somebody came up to me like a few weeks after Kenny died because she was on my show and just said, I was like, hey, how are you? And she was like, I'm good. I'm really sad for you guys. And I was like, oh, what a wonderful thing to say.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, like what else is there to say? Really?
Right.
Yeah. To be appropriate.
But then to be the person, there was also like people who were like coming up to me and being like, I heard that like, there people were lying about like his condition. And I was like, nobody was fucking lying. Like
this is not a soap opera.
This isn't like high drama for you to get off on. No, we didn't know. We didn't know our friend was going to die.
I will say this. I agree. And when people make things a soap opera, I also do think people don't know how to process things. And so anger is something that they do.
I agree completely.
Mm. But that's
why I'm not as mad about that.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
Can you explain what people were like mad about?
I think there was just people that thought
information was being guarded, maybe.
Got it.
But it
which
was
information that they're not privy to.
It was
to
because
anyway.
It was medical information and they weren't allowed to tell us.
Yeah, and his parents. Right. That's another.
And his parents couldn't get there for a few days. So like, we didn't know.
Yeah.
Nobody fucking knew what was going to happen.
Right.
And nobody wanted to say that he was going to die.
Right.
You know, like all that I knew was like there was a few people I called who weren't in town. And all I knew was I was like, you got to get here.
Yeah.
Either way, you have to be here.
Right.
And like, sorry, I didn't call every. You know what I mean? Like, sorry, between the 30. If between the 30 of us there, nobody called you. You should have called somebody to see what was going on. If you really wanted to know, you could have called somebody. Like, we were making the phone calls. We were doing our best. And it's also like it's the same as like asking something of someone. It's like to be like, hey, you handled this badly in regards to me.
Yeah.
Right.
Is like, well, when I found out he was in an accident, I called 20 hospitals.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, I wasn't mad that the people who got there before me didn't call me and tell me which hospital because they were a little fucking busy.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right,
and of course, when I got there, they were all like, oh my God, fuck, we should have called. Like, but you just found out that your friend's fucking skull was cut off.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And there's also another, respectfully, never, never, never talk shit about the dead.
Just don't.
Who raised you? Were you raised by a pack of jackals? You fucking piece of garbage.
Just don't.
Were you raised by a nest of rats? You rat bitch scumbag.
You were raised in a rat king, you fucking rat bitch.
Shut your rat mouth.
Shut your rat mouth.
It's crazy that people don't know this.
It's so easy to not say anything.
I know.
It's so insanely easy to just not say a fucking word.
Yeah.
And to go out of your way.
Yeah.
It's beyond me. It's insane. Somebody that I know was like, this was a few months ago. My dad died in 2022, like I said. And somebody that I grew up with a few months ago was shit-faced and goes, do you want to hear a story about a time your dad was a dick? And I went, no.
No.
And then he started telling the story anyway, and I just left.
Good.
Like, no, why would I?
I mean, you were a great support to me when my dad died because you were like, the funeral is going to be a shit show. It's not going to be cathartic for you.
No.
It's not going to be about you.
It's about everybody else.
It's about everybody else. And you're so I knew going in, and I just would go to the bathroom and sit there and be like,
oh my God, the amount of vaping in the bathroom I did at my dad's funeral is crazy.
I wandered off. One of my best friends from growing up, shout out to Annabelle Glass, one of the raddest bitches out there.
Not a rat bitch.
Not
rad
a rat bitch.
Rad bitch, not
rad
a rat
bitch. No, the coolest. She's a fucking lion. I knew that people would be talking, because of the contentiousness in my family, I knew people were going to be saying weird shit to me. And I was like, you just need to football. You need to be a linebacker for me. Like, you see my eyes glaze over.
This is what you do when somebody dies.
Do. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Like, you did this when Kenny was dying and died. Like, you just showed up and were there for me. Like, let me, like, stay at your apartment and shower at your apartment. When my dad died, my friend Yasmina, who has friends with my whole life, just like drove to Albany.
Yeah, of course you have to.
And like I said, like the amount of vaping in the bathroom I did, like Yasmina had my vape in her pocket because I was wearing a dress.
Yeah.
And would just take me to the bathroom every 20 minutes.
Hold my vape.
She like put fake eyelashes on me so I wouldn't cry my mascara off for my dad's funeral. Like it's so easy to do the right thing.
Yeah.
You just show up and do what the person needs you to do.
Yeah.
You just hold their vape and put fake eyelashes on them.
It's beautiful.
You know? And like.
Dude, and it also, it goes beyond, I mean, like death and mourning and funerals and all that stuff. Like, these are certainly rules that should be applied there. But you can apply them to so many situations.
Breakups,
in life.
And weddings. Like weddings.
You know how many weddings get fucked up because somebody just can't not make it about themselves?
Yeah.
You know? Like my sister's wedding, I feel like almost got ruined
because
like other people were just like kind of like, we basically that whole leading up to that, like I was pulling family members aside. Not like bluntly saying this, but just basically like, let's not fuck this up for my sister. All right. It's her day. If she wants us to do something, just do it.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that it's just like, I think people really have a hard time sometimes divorcing themselves from the fact that like, it's just not about them.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? I have a funny example of this. At my birthday party this last year, some guy that I don't really know came up to me and asked if he could change the music. And friend had put on music that he knows I like.
Yeah.
And he goes, can I change the music? And I was like, why? And he goes, to get the women moving.
Oh, no.
And I was like, first of all, every woman here is a comedian.
Yeah.
Like, they're not going
to
move.
And no one wants
and you're not supposed to be trying to fuck them.
Yeah.
No one would. This isn't like a fuck birthday party.
Yeah.
This is like a grown-up birthday party. And then I was like, oh, it's not my phone. So like just to be like, I don't want to have this conversation. And then he found the guy whose phone it was.
Oh, God.
And like queued up a bunch of fucking songs.
Yeah.
And then came up to me and like gestured to like two women who were dancing and was like, it's working.
Ew, dude.
See? What?
Ew.
No, rat bitch stuff.
No.
Real rat bitch stuff.
Real rat bitch stuff. I mean, I think one thing that I learned growing up, because my dad was sick a lot and my family was away for medical emergencies often, so it was a big part of my life. And something that I learned early on is like, bring someone food. Clean their apartment.
Clean their apartment.
Yeah. Just like, because people, when someone dies, and
just turns to mush.
Yeah, and you have to do stuff. Yeah. Like, there's an LCD sound system called When Someone Great Is Gone. And I remember my first friend who got cancer in my 20s, it was very touch and go. And she's okay, thank God. But, like, I started to be like, oh, I just have to, like, walk around and, like, send my emails knowing that Bianca has cancer and we're all not sure if she's going to make it.
Yeah, I mean, this was one of those things where, like, all of us were like, once Kenny died, because we had spent the whole week just in the hospital and not doing anything else.
Yeah.
And then when Kenny died, it was like, so at what point do we have to like be people again? Like a little less than a month after he died, I went on a first date.
Yeah.
Because eventually you have to do that again.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not going to bring it up. I'm going to go on a date and I'm not going to bring it up. And I almost canceled the date because I was fucking sad. And I showed up with like no makeup on and my hair in a bun and whatever. And then it ended up being a good date. Like I liked the guy and he was nice and funny. So like 4 hours into this date, I just had been talking around it so much.
Yeah.
Because I was so inside it still. Like that day I had done an interview about Kenny. Like everything. So like if you ask me, what did you do today? I have to tell you my best friend died. But like I'm trying so hard not to.
Yeah.
And then I don't remember what it was, but something came up where I was like about to start talking around it again. And I just had to be like, yeah, I'm going to like I said word for word, I was like, yeah, I'm going to say something crazy now.
Yeah.
And he was like, OK. And I was like, one of my very closest best friends died a month ago.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's related to this because and like, thank God he was cool about it. But it is one of those things where it's like you just have to start your life again.
Yeah.
And anything you can do to help that person start their life again is the most helpful thing. So like if you send them like an Uber Eats gift card.
Yes.
Or like offer to clean their apartment, like you said, or even like, do you want to sit in a coffee shop with me and send emails?
Yeah.
You know, like whatever the thing is, just to get them like, because it's so, when you decide to start living your life again after someone that close to you dies, you almost feel like you're betraying them.
Yeah.
Like I kind of felt like by not like sitting in
your
Kenny's
own
dead zone.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like betraying him. And then I remembered that he was my most like full of life friend.
He would never want
and
that.
And I was like, oh, he would hate if I was sitting in my bedroom rotting.
Yeah.
Because he died. Meanwhile, I'm like crying on my way home from a first date because it was good and I don't get to tell him about it. But that's better.
That is better.
You know?
That is better.
And it was just like, it's just this bizarre thing. And if you can, like if you know someone who loses someone, 3 weeks later, ask them if they want to go get a drink.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like just like help them start being a person again because it's really hard to give yourself permission to do that.
I mean, I used to just write Bianca cards.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It took 20 minutes. You get a nice card in the mail. Like, how small is that?
Yeah, it's easy.
Yeah. It's also, I mean, again, that was Kenny would do little kind things all the time.
Yeah.
So, like, do little kind things and cumulatively, like, everyone will be affected by it. It'll really mean a lot in the long term. And also, just again to state, Kenny was so funny and
he was so good at stand up.
He was like a minute away from being, and he was already like, I know that Kenny would care more the legacy of the people that he touched.
Yeah.
But I will say this, he already had a lot of success in comedy and Kenny was like 2 minutes away from being a fucking superstar.
Which is also one of the saddest things about this.
And we are being robbed of that. So,
yeah. But consuming. What is out there is out there.
And it's fantastic.
And it's really good.
Yeah.
And there are very few like straight white guy comedians that I'd be like, before anyone else, you got to check this guy out. But he's one of them.
Yeah.
You know, like he's just like, he really was a wonderful person. And allowed himself to be that as a comedian also, which not a lot of people are capable of doing. It's way funnier to like hate everything and hate the world and act like a victim on stage than it is to be a person who's talking about having privilege or things that are worse for other people than they are for you, or to be the kind of guy who goes on stage and talks about things that you love.
Yeah.
Like, those are all things that are kind of impossible to pull off as a comedian.
Yeah.
And he was really fucking good at them.
He never took the easy way out, which makes you have to work a lot harder. And perhaps it takes longer to rise to notoriety when you're not turning on the bigot machine. And he would never. I mean, I remember.
It was just like in his bones to be like a humble and supportive person.
Yeah. I think it's your bones to be a rat bitch or not a rat bitch.
Yeah.
And I think it's that simple.
Yeah. And he certainly was not a rat bitch, but boy, did he think it was funny to call me that after I got called it the first time, like all of our friends did. But I will say he was one of the people who was like, you know, nobody gets to talk to you that way.
Yeah. Like, oh, for sure.
And one of the reasons that I broke up with that guy after he said that to me after Kenny died was I was like, Kenny would be so fucking mad at me if I let this guy keep talking to me this way. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
he
would never. There was this one time where we were talking about a woman that he had just started seeing, and she said something to him that was mean for the sake of being mean.
I hate that.
And he asked me, like, what I thought about it. And I was just like, hey, if I told you a man said that to me,
right,
what would you say? And he was like, oh, I'd beat the fuck out of him.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, yeah, so that's it. So that's the answer.
Yeah.
And, like, he was just that guy who, like, he was very good at reminding me how I was supposed to be treated and, like, what I deserved. Like, he would, like, recommend me for opportunities I didn't think I was ready for.
Yeah.
Because he knew
that
what
maybe you wouldn't, like, have the courage quite yet, and he knew you were ready.
Yeah, and he, like, he knew that his friends deserved.
Yeah.
Good and wonderful things, and would go out of his way to get them for them.
Yeah.
There aren't a lot of people in comedy who when they get an opportunity, their first instinct is, how can I get all my friends here too?
Yeah. I mean, that's one of my biggest comedy heartbreaks is having partners who don't do that when I do that for them.
And it's also, like, I'll admit that it's a hard thing for me to do because I have, like, a scarcity mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if I put all my friends onto this thing, I might not have it. Like, mm-hmm. I might lose it. And Kenny was the kind of guy who just everything that he did, he would be like, well, also Lizzie Cassidy's really funny,
mm-hmm.
you know, or like also this person's really fun or whoever it was, you know? And there was a few people who like messaged me and were like telling me about how he talked about me.
Mm-hmm.
And all of those people were people who I had the same thing to say back.
Yeah,
like,
that's really nice.
And in such a shit-talky industry,
yeah,
it's so rare to have someone who's like going around being like, hey, you know who's fucking awesome? Like,
yeah,
hey, you know who rules and is really funny and a good person?
Yeah.
Like, what a rare person to know.
We'll go into it in the next episode, but I think there's something to be said, too, is when you suffer enough grief and loss, it, like, leaves fucking marks on you.
Yeah.
And it makes you isolate yourself and it makes you paranoid and it changes you in a way. And since my dad died and, you know, I'm sure since your dad died and since Kenny died, it's like hard to be the same person.
Yeah.
So help your friends be the same person because it's not easy.
No, it's not. Well, yeah.
Well, yeah.
Just like, you know, Google him. Just Google him. I don't know what else to say. There's like not much I can say about him that you can't figure out just by like watching him or listening to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rest in power, Kenya DeForest.
Yeah. Yeah. Man. Oh, fuck.
Squeak, squeak.
Yeah. Kenny DeForest forever, baby.
Kenny DeForest forever. Good night, folks.